You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
It's a bird, or it's a plane, or perhaps it is the lightning-fast Vande Bharat Express, or the zooming Indian economy that is slated to become the world's second fastest by the year 2030, as per one government claim. Or perhaps it is India's revised GDP data that makes us all look in the pinkest of economic well-being. In the glut of politically driven messaging that is out there in the run-up to the election, it is often hard to tell fact from fiction. What one side debunks, the other claims is master strokes of a mastermind. What one side hails, the other is quick to dub hashtag fail. There is understandable urgency on both sides because, well, the stakes are high in the year of the big fat Indian elections, where 30 million first-time voters are up for grabs. And it is, after all, a battle of perception that must be won by any party hoping to run the country for the next 5 years. Claims and counterclaims aside, on this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control, we will focus on a subject we have revisited in the past, that of GDP revision. But before we get there, just a brief, and I promise you, very brief look at some of the controversies pertaining to data that have erupted all around us in recent times. My name is Rakesh Sharma, and a revision of the GDP number revisions is what we offer on this class of Digging Deeper with Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
GDP revision, reading the fine print in the year of the general election.
Speaking of trains, since we began with the mention of one, Devangshu Datta of Scroll recently linked the imagery of a train to the idea of a national economy, with a let's pretend that the train is moving game thrown in. He recalls how statisticians of the erstwhile Soviet Union spent much of their time cooking up fantasies about high growth economy while concealing telltale signs of stagnation. One can argue that it's much the same tactic at work in present-day North Korea, or dare one say it, Russia. Datta thinks that the present regime in India is doing pretty much the same. Not to bring in the Third Reich for no reason, but it is not so much the big lie of Hitler's times we need to worry about, as much as a profusion of little regular ones. To strengthen his argument, Datta cites the example of the last two independent members of the National Statistical Commission, that is P.C. Mohanan and J.V. Meenakshi, who resigned due to problems with the government's approach to statistical data. Quoting from Datta's piece on Scroll, the new back series of GDP data was released without the commission signing off on it. The version prepared by the commission was rejected. The government's refusal to release the National Sample Survey Organization, that is NSSO's Periodic Labour Force Survey, or PLFS, for 2017-2018, was apparently the last straw for these two statisticians. According to them, the report was ready in December. Unquote. The leaked PLFS, as has been widely reported, has shown that unemployment hit a 45-year high of 6.1% in 2017-2018, with joblessness among the youth being far higher. The PLFS conducted between July 2017 and June 2018 puts both demonetization, declared in November 2016, and the goods and services tax that is launched in July 2017 squarely in the dock, according to Scroll. The government, the piece informs, has also stopped the Labour Bureau's quarterly employment surveys, removing another useful data source. And there's more controversies and confusion over GDP revision. James Wilson, a civil engineer and data cruncher, recently wrote in The Telegraph about how the chief of the Economic Advisory Council, Bibek Debroy, declared recently that a new national sample survey would be conducted by the government to show there is substantial job creation, thereby countering the latest report by the NSSO. He also recalls how Niti Aayog CEO Amitabh Kant and Vice Chairman Rajiv Kumar struggled to pull off a satisfactory damage control. But what has left many observers confused is the tweaking of gross domestic product, that is GDP rates. Wilson went on to write in The Telegraph, and I quote, in 2015, the Central Statistical Office, that is the CSO, announced two changes in the way GDP is calculated. The base year for all calculations was revised from 2004-2005 to 2011-12, and the methodology was changed. These made the GDP growth rate of 2014-15 jump from 5.5% to 7.4%, surpassing even China's growth rate. Unquote. This, said the Telegraph piece, bewildered leading economists because globally, whenever such changes are done, past data are also revised concurrently. Not only had the CSO failed to publish the GDP growth figures for the years prior to 2011-12, the demand was ignored for 3 years. In August 2018, when a draft report on the GDP back series was released by a committee set up by the NSC, it indicated that growth figures under the UPA were higher than the old methodology indicated. The report was swiftly removed from its website. The GDP figures were then finally released by Niti Aayog Vice Chairman Rajiv Kumar on the 28th of November 2018. And the piece recalls that they indicated that the revised average GDP growth between 2005-06 and 2013-14, all UPA years, stood at 6.7% against 7.35% as recorded in the first 4 years of the NDA government. There were, of course, naysayers, and they came in immediately, like the former chairman of the NSC, Pranab Sen, cited in the piece on The Telegraph, who questioned the Niti Aayog's unusual move of releasing GDP data and pointing out that it is the prerogative, in fact, of the CSO. Quoting from the piece, Sen also stated that a proper study of the methodology used to deduce real growth in each segment of the economy is warranted. The latest upward revision of GDP growth was done for 2016-17 and 2017-18 on the 31st of January 2019, unquote. The revised figures for 2016-17 are 8.2%, showing that maximum growth happened during the demonetization year. Now that has stretched the bounds of collective credulity. In a previous Money Control report, the legendary Mark Mobius had also expressed shock at the recent GDP revision and said that the Indian government should be transparent and open all its books to the public. Referring to the revision of the FY18 GDP growth rate to 7.2% from 6.7%, Mobius told CNBC TV18 that the revision of the government data had, well, shocked him. He said, and I quote, "The current growth rate of 8% makes sense for India. We have to take a lot of these statistics with a grain of salt, but I think it is quite a shock at this stage to see this happen in India." Unquote. He did also say that that a slight deviation in data does not matter and that the Indian numbers are good and credible despite revision. He also foresaw the Reserve Bank of India and the government infusing capital to bail out troubled banks. Data crunching, of course, continues in the meanwhile. The authenticity of data released by the government has, however, repeatedly been questioned. The government, for example, was called out during and after demonetization for contradictory and revisionist claims that were seemingly made to restore the faith of the prospective voters and diehard supporters and, of course, to silence habitual critics. The Telegraph recalls how after 8.5 months, the RBI annual report of 2016-2017 disclosed on the 30th of June 2017 that the RBI had received 15.28 lakh crore rupees of demonetized currency. In other words, more than 99% of the demonetized currency. Claims that demonetization would turn India into a cashless digital economy and a more tax-compliant society have also been debunked. In a latest Business Today report, though, a claim has been made that mobile wallet transactions in India increased 40 times in 5 years and that the digital economy in India was growing 1.5 times faster than the global average. While there may be some truth to the claims in the general tenor, the numbers might be a bit problematic. But who made this claim? Well, it was made by the National Cybersecurity Coordinator in the PMO, Gulshan Rai. Now that is another story for another day. As for the claim about demonetization making India a tax-compliant country, as the Telegraph piece said, an examination of the Central Board of Direct Taxation data available in the public domain reveals that there was an 11.6% growth in the number of income taxpayers in 2013-2014. It then fell to 8.3% and 7.5%, that's down in the next 2 years, and increased to 12.7% in 2016-2017, but fell again to 6.9% in 2017-2018. The report also cites tragically inadequate farmer suicide data. That's another data point. For example, the last NCRB report published was in 2016 and showed that till 2015 in India, every hour a farmer committed suicide. But the Union Agriculture Minister Radha Mohan Singh told Parliament that the government had no data on farmer suicides since 2016. Among these stories of revisionism, there are many. We will today concentrate on just the one. That is, of course, the GDP numbers. Now, what does the government have to say for itself? A recent report in Khaleej Times cited India's chief economic advisor, Krishnamurthy Subramanian, who said that he's not worried about the upward revision of fiscal deficit target for 2019-2020 to 3.4%, as he believes it'll actually come down to 3.1% after the revised GDP numbers are incorporated. Khaleej Times noted, and I quote, "Subramanian also expresses satisfaction with the efforts taken by the government towards fiscal consolidation and said the country remained fiscally disciplined despite greater devolution contribution of 42% to states and implementation of the seventh pay commission, unquote. In a post-budget interview, he told IANS that the budgeted estimate for fiscal deficit for FY19 was 3.34%. He added, and I quote, "The actual number has come to be 3.36%, and as is the practice, it is rounded off to 3.4%, so actual slippage is 0.02%, which is just a few thousand crores," unquote. He added that the 3.36% figure was derived based on the old GDP estimates and had not used the revised estimates. To refresh your memory a little bit, because this needs refreshing, the government had revised the GDP growth rates by 110 basis points from 7.1% to 8.2% for 2016-2017 and by 50 basis points from 6.7 to 7.2% for fiscal 2017-2018. About the alarming job deficit numbers, he said that the problem was a discrepancy between supply and demand. He told IANS, and I quote, "It's done through skilling, which by its very nature doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. That's where Skill India campaign and investments will start showing their results." Now that we've been talking about the space of data and research and number gathering, and this is a non sequitur, but bear with me. It's also important to sort of address this, because this is as good a time as any to address this. Because we're talking about numbers and research, we have to ask ourselves this important question: are we good at research in the first place? Now, this is obviously a detour, but an essential one to understand the landscape in which we are operating, that is, India. A recent Money Control piece, by the way, reported that while India ranks 8th in the quality of private and public research institutions across 112 countries, according to the World Economic Forum's Global Competitive Index 2018, it scores just 0.42 out of 5 in the Quality of Research Institutions Index. The primary reason for low quality research, according to the piece, is the low spending on research and development. India spends just about 0.62% of GDP on research, according to R&D data released 2018 by UNESCO Institute of Statistics. Quoting from that piece, interestingly, India's spend on R&D has been rising, but the percentage of GDP devoted towards it has been declining. The low spends answers why India lacks the resources required for conducting high-quality research. Time and again, questions have been raised on the quality and authenticity of the research output in India, and policymakers have long been aware of the dismal state of research. The scarcity of compensation or funds for scholars, says the piece, is not the only reason behind the research crisis in the country. The woes of India's education system are rooted in early schooling. Quoting from the piece, "The quality of education imparted to students in government as well as private schools has come under the scanner after the annual Status of Education Report 2017 stated that about 57% of the country's youth aged between 14 and 18 years were unable to solve a basic division problem. The survey, which focused on the quality of education at various institutes, said that teens could not successfully perform simple activities like counting money, adding weights, and telling time," unquote. Now, the government policies, informs the piece, also play a major role in the publication of a large number of bogus journals, and researchers in India needs to support research and development within the country, bring in laws to check the loopholes that exist in the laws, and set up a strict monitoring body to check the research quality. Now, that was a detour to talk about the state of scientific research and perhaps even social sciences research in the country, but we also have to dovetail that into the fact that there is so many poor numbers going around in the country. Now, returning to the GDP tweaks, and because numbers can be baffling and because they often get lost in the din of excessive information, let's break this story down for you, repetitions and all. The controversy over GDP tweaking resurfaced this year when in January 2019, the government revised its forecast for GDP growth for 2017-2018 to 7.2% from the earlier 6.7%. It also revised the actual growth rate in 2016-2017 to 8.2% from the 7.1% estimated earlier. Now, the revisions were made by the Ministry of Statistics and Program Implementation in its first revised estimates of national income, consumption expenditure, saving and capital formation 2017-2018. The numbers painted the demonetization year of 2016-2017 in a very rosy light and showed a strong growth in sectors widely agreed to have been badly hit by the exercise. The Hindu quoted D.K. Srivastava, Chief Policy Advisor at Ernst & Young India, who said, and I quote, "For 2016-2017, this hike of 1.1 percentage points in GDP GDP growth comes as a surprise because it was the demonetization year. If you look at the demand side, the main factor for this is the increase in private final consumption expenditure, which has also increased 1 percentage point. That is inconsistent with the idea of people having less cash to make purchases. Unquote. He further said in the piece that the main driver of the upward revision on the output side in 2016-2017 was the construction sector, which has been revised upwards by 4.7%. Srivastava said, and I quote, construction is also a sector which has a large informal sector component, and all earlier analyses had indicated that demonetization adversely affected the informal sectors. Unquote. Now, what did the government have to say? Well, it said, and I quote, the estimates of GDP and other aggregates for 2015-16 and 2016-17 have undergone revision on account of the use of the latest data available on agricultural production, industrial production, and government expenditure, replacing the revised estimates with actual for 2016-2017, and also more comprehensive data available from various source agencies like the MCA and the NABARD and the State and Union Territory Directorates of Economics and Statistics, unquote. Looking at 2017-2018, analysts told The Hindu that the government's explanation does not seem credible because the two main drivers of the upward revision, that is the mining and quarrying sector and the public administration sector, both have data that is compiled by the government itself and so should not have undergone such a vast revision. Madan Sabnavis, chief economist at CARE Ratings, went on to say, and I quote, it is not something we're able to explain. The revisions, where the growth rates are going up by 1 percentage point and 0.5 percentage points, are difficult to reconcile with the ground-level facts. Let's also now recall one of our earliest podcasts on the subject in November 2018 when the Niti Aayog and the CSO released the back series of India's GDP data from 2005-2006, that is 2005-2006. This was done, as we have mentioned repeatedly, using a new methodology which changed the base year to 2011-2012. The result? Well, the new data released on the 28th of November of last year downgraded UPA year's GDP growth rates by shaving off the previous estimates by a few percentage points in several years. On the surface, as Gaurav Chaudhary reported for Money Control, the report conveyed that the Indian economy did not grow at the pace it was earlier made out to be during the UPA regime. Those double-digit growths, well, the government said, did not happen. Claims that this methodology to gauge past GDP growth rates was much better than the previous one were made by Rajiv Kumar, vice chairman of the government's policy think tank, Niti Aayog. He said, and I quote, the new series, 2011-2012 is base, is far more superior and has made some significant methodological improvements. He also added that the government had consulted experts such as member of the Monetary Policy Committee, Chetan Ghate, former chief statistician, TCA Anand, among others. At the heart of the controversy caused by the revised numbers was the debunking of a previous estimate that India had clocked double-digit growth of 10.3% in 2010-2011. The new estimate has revised this to 8.5%. And as Money Control reported, the revision has reduced GDP growth rates of 9.3, 9.3 and 9.8% in 2005-06, 2006-07, 2007-08 respectively to 7.9%, 8.1 and 7.7% respectively. As mentioned in the Money Control report, in 2008-2009, growth declined to 3.9% due to the global financial crisis. However, new estimates show that the growth rate was overestimated and economy actually grew 3.1%. Finance Minister Arun Jaitley had also stepped in to defend the revised GDP numbers for the UPA era and said CSO was a credible organization. He said, and I quote, I don't think any service is being rendered by people who choose to discredit a highly credible organization like the CSO because its data is based on facts and the revised formulations, which is a continuous exercise because every time you try and improve upon the formulations to make them more representative of the real state of economy, unquote. Money Control also cited government officials involved in the compiling of the new data who say that the earlier series did not capture financial services value addition in its entirety. It captured only a few mutual funds, primarily UTI, and estimates for the non-government, non-banking finance companies as compiled by RBI, apart from banking and insurance activity. CSO said in a release, and I quote, the methodology for preparing the back series estimates for the years 2004-05 to 2010-11 is largely the same as the methodology followed in the new base, that is 2011-2012. In certain cases, owing to the limitations of the availability of data, either splicing method or ratios observed in the estimates in the base year 2011-12 have been applied. Unquote. Chief statistician Praveen Srivastava was quoted by various news sources as saying that the revision of GDP back series data is a robust one, with the methodology now being comparable to how other countries crunch data. In this series, the coverage of financial sector was expanded by including stockbrokers, stock exchanges, asset management companies, mutual funds and pension funds, as well as the regulatory bodies SEBI, PFRDA and IRDA. We reported on Money Control, and I quote, "This probably explains the sharp drop in growth rate to 3.1% in 2009-10, mirroring a deeper impact of the global financial crisis of 2008 on the Indian economy than previously thought. In January 2015, the CSO had released a new set of national accounts, revising the base year from 2004-05 to 2011-12. In the new series, the GDP at factor cost was replaced with gross value added, that is GVA, at basic prices was adopted as per the international standard." But is this a credible method, that is, using the GVA? This method, according to multiple news sources, adopted a gross value-added-based approach as compared to a predominantly volume-based calculation that was happening earlier. Quoting from Money Control, "Earlier, the Index of Industrial Production, that is IIP, served as the primary metric for gauging manufacturing and trading activity. This limited the calculation to only number of units produced and did not distinguish between a sedan and an entry-level car. Organized industrial activity was based on IIP, and it used to get updated 2 years later based on data coming in from the Annual Survey of Industries, that is ASI, which captures goods value at the factory gate only for firms registered under the Factories Act. Now, the Corporate Affairs Ministry's MCA21 records a comprehensive compendium of balance sheet data of about 5 lakh firms." Unquote. Further, as the piece explained, the base year of the national accounts is the year chosen to enable inter-year comparisons. It is changed periodically to factor in structural changes in the economy. Now, the new series, as we've told you before, changed the base to 2011-2012 from 2004-2005. Money Control again, the base year is important in GDP calculation as factors such as purchasing power and enables calculation of inflation-adjusted growth estimates. Labor income is calculated differently in the new method, where different weights are assigned on whether one was an owner, a hired professional, or a helper using a method called effective labor input. Importantly, the new series uses National Sample Survey Organization's 2011-12 Establishment Survey to calculate trading income compared to the 1999 survey data used in the earlier series." Unquote. So basically, we've told you what the numbers are and what the sources for these numbers are. How credible these are up for you to understand. The recalibration of the previous government's economic report card just before elections has had its fair share of critics, and the opposition, primarily Congress, accused the government of manipulating the GDP data of previous years for political gain and in a desperate attempt to undermine India's growth story over the last 15 years. Reactions, therefore, came in hard and came in harsh. Congress chief spokesperson Randeep Surjewala termed the step a classic case where the operation is successful but the patient is dead. Said Randeep Surjewala, and I quote, "Modi government and its puppet Niti Aayog want the people to believe that 2 plus 2 is equal to 8. Such is the gimmickry, jugglery, trickery and chicanery being sold as back series data." Unquote. Calling the new GDP as gimmickry data product, the Congress leader said that the economic mismanagement created by demonetization and what he termed as a flawed GST and tax terrorism had led to economic anarchy. And this had led to what he called was a malicious and fraudulent jugglery of GDP to hide the enormous body blow caused to India's economy. The real blame, he said, could be attributed to, quote, "Modinomics plus a pakoda economic vision," unquote. Just goes to show how frayed political tempers are at this junction, with the general election only a nudge away. Surjewala also alleged that since May 2014, there had been a determined effort to disparage the record of the two UPA governments under Dr. Manmohan Singh during 2004-2009 and 2009-2014. Changing the base year from 2004-05 to 2011-12 was part of the same strategy, Surjewala went on to say. He continued, and I quote, "Congress had demanded that the back series data of GVA and GDP should be calculated and released so that meaningful comparisons can be made," unquote. He added that the back series data, as released by NSC in August 2018, is available in public domain and numbers prove that the truth cannot be suppressed. He also claimed that UPA 1 and UPA 2 delivered the highest decadal growth of 8.13% at factor cost since independence, and during this period, 140 million people were lifted out of poverty. adding also that by the time the UPA left office, economic growth had recovered to 6.39% at market prices in 2013-2014, the fiscal deficit had been reduced to 4.48%, and the current account deficit contained at 1.7%. He said that the revised new series by the Ministry of Statistics and Niti Aayog had undermined the NSC, the autonomous body for deciding data transparently and in accordance with global standards of calculating GDP as per market price linked methodology. Surjewala again, and I quote, "Today the Modi government deceived the country by surreptitiously changing the methodology in order to manipulate GDP data. This is called Excel sheet management, that is, deciding the result first and filling the marks later. The new methodology is GVA based, which does not take into account tax plus subsidies and consequently is extremely flawed to subserve the myopic interests of the Modi government," unquote. Senior Congress leader and former Union Finance Minister P. Chidambaram also said that the revised GDP numbers released by the Niti Aayog were a hatchet job and termed it a joke. The Niti Aayog Vice Chairman Rajiv Kumar, though, stated that the government had no intention to mislead or do something purposefully that did not reflect the reality. To those of you who are floundering a little bit and feeling confounded by the numbers and the controversy, Money Control's own Gaurav Chaudhary broke down some of the terms being used in the argument. So now is as good a time as any to find out what those terms mean. What is GDP? Well, gross domestic product, or GDP, represents the total value of all the final goods and services that are produced within a country's borders within a particular time period, typically a year or a quarter. Now, what is the difference between real GDP and nominal GDP? Nominal GDP is calculated at current prices. Real GDP is GDP adjusted for inflation. Now, what is a base year? We've been talking about base year a lot. What is a base year? The base year of the national accounts is chosen to enable inter-year comparisons. It gives an idea about changes in purchasing power and enables calculation of inflation-adjusted growth estimates. The new series changes the base to 2011-2012 from 2004-2005. Every national accounts data set gives GDP calculations for 2 years, 2011-12 and the current year. So that is the base year. Now, when was this new series launched? A decision to change the GDP calculation method was taken during the UPA 2 years. The NDA government launched the first set of data, giving out levels of GDP and growth rates from 2011 and 2012. Now, what is a back series? The back series data serves as a link between the old and new formulae. The back series is aimed at calculating or updating national accounts using the new formula to help allow inter-year comparisons and enable better economic forecasting, this time using the new formula. Vivek Kaul, the author of Easy Money Trilogy, wrote a piece on First Post to address this controversy. He said, and I quote, "The biggest takeaway from this exercise is that the economic growth between 2004-05 and 2011-2012 and the economic growth between 2011-2012 and 2017-18 was more or less the same. Between 2004-05 and 2011-2012, the Indian economy grew at 6.89% a year. Between 2011-12 and 2017-18, it grew at 6.87% per year, which means there was barely any difference. For anyone who has lived through these two periods, this just does not feel right," unquote. Another point he made is that if the Indian economy grew at more or less the same rate between 2004-05 and 2011-12 as it did between 2011-12 and 2017-18, then this should reflect in other real economic indicators as well. He said, and I quote, "The GDP number is ultimately a theoretical construct, and that being the case, the way it goes, should also be reflected in the high-speed real economic indicators like car sales, two-wheeler sales, tractor sales, commercial vehicle sales, non-food credit, corporate tax, personal income tax, and a whole host of other economic indicators," unquote. He cited multiple indicators to claim that the economic growth between 2004-05 and 2011-12 should have been much higher than the economic growth between 2011-12 and 2017-18. But as per the new GDP series, this is clearly not the case. Given this, he said, the new GDP series does not pass this basic smell test," unquote. What does make sense is that excessive lending between 2004-05 and 2011-12 led to a huge amount of bad loans in the years to come, especially for public sector banks. This, to some extent, has held growth back post-2011-2012, he went on to say. He cited former Reserve Bank of India Governor D. Subba Rao, who had written this in his 2016 book, Who Moved My Interest Rate, perhaps foreshadowing this controversy, and I quote, "The poor quality of data is compounded by frequent and significant revisions, especially in data relating to output, that is GDP, and inflation, which are at the heart of monetary policy," unquote. Vivek also recalls former RBI Governor Y.V. Reddy's quip, where he said, "Everywhere around the world, the future is uncertain. In India, even the past is uncertain." Another view is that needless controversy could have been avoided if only the CSO had not organized a joint press conference with the Niti Aayog representatives, especially because the Niti Aayog should have no role in calculating the GDP numbers, as it is the job primarily of the CSO. Former chief statistician Pranab Sen told PTI, and I quote, "The integrity of CSO has been dented in the eyes of users. We've always had a system that data CSO brings out is completely removed from the political interference. Even the Prime Minister would get to know of the numbers just before they're released. Now to do that alongside Niti Aayog, which is a political institution like the previous Planning Commission was, is essentially diluting the integrity of the CSO." And as Times of India cited Sen, when a political institution releases national statistical data, it puts a huge question mark on the credibility of the data and the political independence of the statistical agencies.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
GDP revision, reading the fine print in the year of the general election.
Well, regardless of what projections and data revisions proclaim, finally, it is the citizenry that'll decide whether the train to prosperity moved fast enough to take them to the promised land or stayed stuck in reams of economic jargon. The voter who casts the ballot will have the final word and will soon decide the winners and the losers of this ongoing war of perception. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.